the night the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. And it's a good night to die. Hallelujah. We are in a transition. You know, in the spirit realm, things constantly move. And in the realm of the spirit, as things constantly move, there's things that are changing. Even though there's nothing new under the sun, but there's things new in the spirit. And one of the things that the Lord always does is prepare us, because the Bible says that the Spirit tells us things to come in strategies. He gives us warnings. And the Lord would never send you out unarmed. He always prepares you for what's ahead and what's coming. And he says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, and in that, people are willing to listen but not hear, because they're too involved in their life. When you're involved in your own life, you cannot give it. What you do is you fight to keep it, and you miss what God's really trying to do with you. People are waiting on God, and God is waiting on his people. Again, I can only share with you the importance of cooperation with the Spirit of the living God, because only with cooperation can freedom be established, prosperity, health, and honor. Because there is honor in serving the Lord. It's not a dishonor, it's an honor. And one of the things that we want to leave a legacy behind is an individual who has died with honor. Has left a legacy as a man or woman of God. Again, we are at a shifting turning point in the spirit where things are being more exposed. And not only is the exposure continuing to shaking, but the rescue. There is a fight in the realm. That fight does not cease. There is no rest in the battle. I want to say this again. There is no rest in the battle. That's all there is shifts. That's why there's watchmen. They take turns to watch. And the Lord sends a legion of his servants, and they go forth in the spirit at a time in certain areas or more. So he has a certain group that does a certain thing of intercessory prayer. Remember, the battle always starts with prayer. So if a person is not a person of prayer, there's no way he can have victory in battles. It's impossible. The enemy will always deceive that individual. He'll never have success. There'll be a limitation on that person's life, and that person will still touch unclean things to keep themselves contaminated. You know, it's a terrible thing for when you get revelations and dreams and visions, but yet, you can't express them because of the uncleanliness. Are you listening? And that's where the word says, what right do you declare my word when you yourself are contaminated? You know, in this time that we are entering, it's a time of deception and delusion that isn't going to increase, and it's important that we maintain our position in the area of sensitivity and clarity. And that can only be established by maintaining the position in the spirit and, of course, the abiding of his presence, his word, and fellowship. And there is a strategy that is happening, and the Holy Spirit revealed something to me that I was driving down the road, and I saw an individual, and it kind of struck me. And there was a few things that he said to me. I'm going to share those tonight, but before we go to that, I want to go to Psalm 24. Psalm 24. you know, to know what God is doing now, you also must know what the devil is doing now. So many times people are, what's God doing now? Well, listen, you better find out what the devil's doing now. Then you'll understand what God is doing now. If you don't know what the devil's doing now, it's impossible for you to understand what God is doing now. Hello? In Psalm 24 and verse 1, would you read it with me? The earth is the Lord's in all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, and who may stand in his holy place? He who has what? Clean hands and a pure heart. Clean hands and a pure heart. We've talked about spiritual contamination, and I'm telling you right now that it's essential that we maintain cleanliness. And he says right here, he who has clean hands and a pure heart, those are the ones who will be able to abide in the secret place. Those are the ones who will be protected because they are not contaminated, because contamination causes separation from God. It says, he who has not lifted up his soul to a what? An idol. Why? Because idols are things that contaminate us. Nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive what? Blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is Jacob, the generation of those who what? Seek him. I'm telling you that this is a generation that's those who seek him. This is not about a place of religion. Listen, I know a lot of people that go to church and get involved in a church just because the church has got a name. Oh, yes, I belong to this church. That means I'm good. No, not while you're still touching unclean things. You are defiled. Oh, I belong to, yes, I'm an intercessor here. I'm an usher here. I'm a deacon here. I'm this here. While an individual is still touching unclean things, that person is an abomination. He's not a vessel of the Lord. And this is what he said, who can abide in my presence? And I'm telling you, without his presence, we're nothing. I don't care if you can quote scriptures and know the page numbers from cover to cover. Without his presence, we are nothing. And this is what he is requiring, more of his presence. He's willing to release it to those who have clean hands and a pure heart. Clean hands and a pure heart, the undefiled. This is the generation of Jacob. It is those who are seeking him. It is a time. That's why you see praise and worship going up like it's never gone up. That's why you see ministries coming together for intercessory prayer. Because prayers are going up. Praise is going up. All of these things are coming up. People are becoming seekers. But there are those who are hanging out with seekers who truly are not our seekers. They just want to hang out with them to be called a seeker even though they're not willing. But God knows them. Verse 7, lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. If the Lord is mighty in battle, your cooperation is in battle, isn't it? In fact, you are called to battle. Amen? You are called to battle. Your purpose is to destroy Satan's kingdom, and your destiny is to infiltrate the world system with the talents and abilities God has given you to rescue those who have been taken captive. That's your call, your purpose, and your destiny. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Clean hands. And a pure heart. So he talks about things of idols. Idols. We must be careful of idols. Go to Ezekiel 14. Ezekiel 14. How many of y'all know that when God speaks to Israel, he's also speaking to the body of Christ? Ezekiel 14 and verse 1. Now some of the elders of Israel came to me and sat before me, And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their hearts and put before them that which causes them to stumble into iniquity. Should I let myself be inquired of at all by them? Therefore speak to them and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, every one of the house of Israel who sets up his idols in his heart and puts before him what causes him to stumble into iniquity, and then comes to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him who comes according to the multitude of his idols, that I may seize the house of Israel by their heart, because they are all estranged from me by their idols. How many of y'all know that you can be an idol? What about your children, your jobs? All kinds of things can be idols, can't they? It's amazing how many people put aside the will of God to please man. Therefore say to the house of Israel, Thus says the Lord God, Repent, turn away from your idols, and turn your faces away from all your abominations. For any one of the house of Israel, or the strangers who dwell in Israel, who separates himself from me, and sets up his idols in his heart, and puts before him what causes him to stumble into iniquity, then comes to a prophet to inquire of him concerning me, I, the Lord, will answer him by myself. I will set my face against that man and make him a sign and a proverb, and I will cut him off from the midst of my people. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. And if the prophet is induced to speak anything, I, the Lord, have induced that prophet, and I will stretch out my hand against him and destroy him from among my people Israel. And they shall bear their iniquity. The punishment of the prophet shall be the same as the punishment of the one who inquired, that the house of Israel may no longer stray from me, nor be profaned any more with their transgressions, but that they may be my people and that I may be their God, says the Lord. Idols in the heart cause individuals to stumble. These would bring contamination. Go to Ezekiel 20. Ezekiel chapter 20. And verse 8. And the word came to Ezekiel, and he said, But they rebelled against me and would not obey me. They did not all cast away the abominations which were before their eyes, nor did they forsake the idols of Egypt. Egypt means the world. Then I said, I will pour out my fury on them and fulfill my anger against them in the midst of the land of Egypt. But I acted for my namesake, that is, that it should not be profaned before the Gentiles among whom they were, and whose sight I had made myself known to them to bring them out of the land of Egypt. The word Egypt also means bondage. Therefore, I made them go out of the land of Egypt and brought them into the wilderness. And I gave them my statutes and showed them my judgments, which if a man does, he shall live by them. Moreover, I also gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between them and me, that they might know that I am the Lord who sanctifies them. Yet the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They did not walk in my statutes. They despised my judgments, which if a man does, he shall live by them. And they greatly defiled my Sabbaths. Then I said, I will pour out my fury on them in the wilderness to consume them. But I acted for my namesake, that I should not be profaned before the Gentiles, in whose sight I had brought them out. So I also raised my hand in an oath to them in the wilderness, that I would not bring them into the land which I had given them, flowing with milk and honey, the glory of all lands. In other words, he held back his blessing. Because they despised my judgments, did not walk in my statutes, but profane my Sabbaths, for their heart went after their idols. This is called idolatry. This is why the Lord divorced Israel. Nevertheless, my eye spared them from destruction. I did not make an end of them in the wilderness, but I said to their children in the wilderness, do not walk in the statutes of your fathers, nor observe their judgments, nor defy yourselves with their idols. I am the Lord your God. Walk in my statutes, keep my judgments, and do them. Hallow my Sabbaths, and they will be a sign between me and you, that you may know that I am the Lord your God. Notwithstanding, the children rebelled against me. They did not walk in my statutes and were not careful to observe my judgments, which if a man does, he shall live by them. But they profaned my Sabbaths. Then I said, I will pour out my fury on them and fulfill my anger against them in the wilderness. Nevertheless, I withdrew my hand and acted for my namesake, that it should not be profaned in the sight of the Gentiles, in whose sight I had brought them out. Also, I raised my hand on an oath to those in the wilderness that I would scatter them among the Gentiles and disperse them throughout the countries, because they did not execute my judgments. Because they did not execute my judgments. In other words, they had the authority to execute the judgments of God and refused it. What prevented them? The idols, because they had been contaminated. Because if you can't submit to authority, you have none. And their eyes were fixed on their father's idols. Therefore, I also gave them up to statutes that were not good and judgments by which they could not live. And I pronounced them unclean. Everyone say unclean. Because of their ritual gifts, and that they caused all their firstborn to pass through the fire, that I might make them desolate, and that they might know that I am the Lord. Now, this is very powerful, because in this, one of the main things was they refused to execute the judgments of God. In other words, to take their authorities, to tear down the altars, to destroy the works of the enemy. They refused to. You know, if you recall, Eli, one of the Lord's prophets, when Samuel was a young boy, God sent Samuel to learn from Eli. And in this, Eli had sons who profaned the sanctuary by having sex with women in the sanctuary and taking things from the sanctuary. And the Lord told Eli to execute judgment on his children, and he refused to. So God stepped back, and there was no word from the Lord. None was released. And when there's no word or revelation from the Lord, the people take off the restraints of righteousness and do ungodliness. And at that time, the tabernacle of the Lord, the Ark of the Covenant, was among the Israelites. And the Lord warned Samuel to tell Eli, I'm going to kill you, your sons, and I'm going to remove the Ark of the Covenant because you did not execute judgments and your children became an idol to you. And that's what happened. Eli, they were raided. They took the Ark of the Covenant. His two sons were killed, and Eli fell over and broke his neck and died because they refused to execute judgments. And I'm telling you now that it is our responsibility to execute judgment on the kingdom of darkness. Again, you are called to battle, and your purpose is to destroy Satan's kingdom. You are not rescued just to build your own house, have families, and enjoy yourself. You are rescued to battle because this place doesn't mean nothing. It's going to be destroyed, burned up, and gone. And we are eternal individuals. We are eternal spirits on a carnal, temporary shell. And we must start getting our eyes off of all of the other things that cause us to fall, that create idols. And we must begin to stand up and execute the judgments of the Lord. Go to Exodus 32. Exodus 32. When we praise and worship, we are warfaring. We are pulling down strongholds. We aren't dancing just for Holy Ghost aerobics, although it does help for some of us who haven't moved in a long time. But warfare is in dance. See, people refuse to accept that. They still want to live according to their carnal precepts because they have no comprehension of the things in the spirit of what's going on around them or who they're being influenced by. So they begin to seek out the things that bring fulfillment to the flesh instead of fulfillment to the spirit. Exodus 32. Is everybody there? In verse 1. Now when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, the people gathered together to Aaron and said to him, "Come, make us gods that shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him." Now this is when when the Lord called Moses up to the mountain and he was with him for 40 days. Now you got to remember, Moses did not eat or drink in 40 days. But to him it was 5 minutes, because in the spirit there's no time. He went in there and said hello to the Lord, took some notes and left. He took 10 notes and booked. And they called those the commandments. How long is it going to take you to take 10 notes and leave? In the spirit realm, for him it was 5 minutes. But when he left, it was 40 days later. Because there's no space or time in the spirit realm. So the people were frustrated. What happened to Moses who brought us out of Egypt? Let's make ourselves gods. See, because at that time it was a custom for paganism to worship bulls. And they were doing it when they were in captivity. That's why when the Lord sent Moses, he said, "Let my people go that they may go worship our God, not your bulls." In verse 2, "And Aaron said to them, 'Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives and your sons and your daughters, and bring them to me.' So all the people broke off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. And he received the gold from the hand, and he fashioned it with an engraving tool and made a molded calf. Then they said, 'This is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt.' So they traded the King of Glory for a bull, a golden bull, the golden calf." Now, it's going to be truly expressed with understanding about the golden calf, because this is what this teaching is about tonight, the golden calf. Because a golden calf was an idol, gold representing something of money or value. Verse 5, "So when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made a proclamation and said, 'Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord.' Then they rose early on the next day, offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. And the Lord said to Moses, 'Go, get down, for your people whom you brought out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves.'" They contaminated themselves by what? Worship of a golden calf. "They turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made themselves a molded calf and worshipped it and sacrificed to it, and said, 'This is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt.' And the Lord said to Moses, 'I have seen this people, and indeed, it is a stiff-necked people. Now, therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may burn hot against them, and I may consume them, and I will make you a great nation.'" Now, the Lord was willing to kill them all and told Moses, "I'll get you some more people. Don't worry about it. I got the power to do this, you know. I'll just kill them for you, and I'll make you a great nation." But Moses, being humbled, now most of us would have said, "Praise God, yeah, kill them. Get rid of them. Yeah, let's start all over. I'm down, Lord, let's go for it." But Moses, being a humble man, said, pleaded with the Lord his God and said, Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians speak and say, he brought them out to harm them, to kill them in the mountains, and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from your fierce wrath and relent from this harm to your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants to whom you swore by your own self and said to them, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of I give to your descendants, and they shall inherit it forever. So the Lord relented from the harm which he said he would do to his people. It's amazing, the Lord took counsel from Moses. But he loved Moses. He's the only one he spoke to face. Moses was the most humble man on the earth. So Moses turned and went down from the mountain, and the two tablets of the Ten Commandments were in his hand. The tablets were written on both sides, one on one side and on the other they were written. Now the tablets were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God engraved on the tablets. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said to Moses, there is a noise of war in the camp. But he said, it is not the noise of a shout of victory, nor a noise of a cry of defeat, but the sound of singing I hear. So it was as soon as he came near the camp that he saw the calf and the dancing. So Moses' anger became hot, and he cast the tablets out of his hands and broke them at the foot of the mountain. Then he took the calf which they had made, burned it in the fire, and ground it to powder, and he scattered it on the water, and he made the children of Israel drink it. They drank the scattered gold. He said, drink this, your wrath. And Moses said to Aaron, why did this people do to you that you have brought so great a sin upon them? So Aaron said, do not let the anger of my Lord become hot. You know the people, that they are set on evil. For they said to me, make us gods that should go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what will become of him. And I said to them, whoever has any gold, let them break it off. So they gave it to me, and I cast it into the fire, and this calf is what came out of it. Now, the gold, the calf just popped out, you know. The golden calf is symbolic, especially where we are right now, because there's a golden calf that is being built right now. It is spiritual, and unless you discern it, you will end up worshiping it. Gold is symbolic to money or value, which is an idol. It can be an idol. Amen? The image of the calf is associated with the image of the world ruled by Satan. In other words, there are things that the ruler of this world is known as Satan. It's amazing how oil is known as black gold. It's also called crude. Hello. It's used as an exchange. They take the black gold and exchange it for gold. They take the oil and exchange it for gold, things of value. Right now, what had happened was, I was driving, you know how you drive down the road and you see all of these individuals standing or flipping these signs and says, cash for gold? They're on every corner dancing. Well, what's happening right now is the government is giving them, they've raised the value of gold so that they're purchasing all the gold back. You may not understand it, but they're building a golden calf. They're purchasing all the gold that they can. And as I was driving, one of the things that came to me, I said, Lord. And he said to me, a cashless society, guy. He said, the government is purchasing all the gold. Because first of all, this country doesn't have enough money to back what they're doing. But the reason why they're doing this is to bring all the gold out and take it all in as much as possible and set up vouchers. See, vouchers are, you work for a voucher instead of money. So what happens is they put what we call money on your debit card, whatever it is, in your bank account. But actually, they're just vouchers. And they have the authority to disactivate that voucher at any time. Right now, the golden calf is being established. Is everybody okay? It is the collection of gold for the image of the beast. Go to Revelation 13. Revelation 13. And I want to use this scripture as a scenario. Even though it has a multiple meaning to it. In verse 11 it says, "Then I saw another beast coming out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon." These are actually a representation of nations. "And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is the wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. And 666 is associated with man, because on the sixth day the Lord created man. And it's also a representation of one world order, government, one world economy, and one world religion. But in this, in the area where the golden calf is associated with the image of the beast, because you will not be able to buy or sell. So people are going to have to worship or surrender their lives to another idol. This idol is called Allah. This idol is called Allah. 666 means in the name of Allah. And I'm not going to go in depth on all of this. Is everybody okay? Ooh, hallelujah. In this area, many people are still worshiping the golden calf in the area where they worship money. Money. Money is a major issue now, not only in this country, but globally. Even though the gold is being taken away, and there are many false promises from global governmental individuals, and the promise of prosperity, and the promise of this getting better, and you must understand that there'll be a delusion, there'll be a deception that things are getting better, but eventually they will collapse. So everybody got it. Why? Because you see what's going on in every corner. Gold is being taken. Gold is being taken. So everybody got this. So in this, many individuals have fallen into the trap of fear, so they are chasing money. They're doing everything they can to store up. They're becoming greedy. They're becoming covetousness, because of the fear of what is coming. Because what's happening, they're beginning to trust in themselves instead of trust in God. They are holding back from giving because they're trusting in themselves and not the Lord. That is called fear. Would you turn to Luke 16? The golden calf. It's being assembled now. Luke 16. And verse 13. He says, no servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he'll be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, also heard of all of these things, and they derided him. And he said to them, you are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. For what is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. So in this, he says, what's happening right now is there are people who are moving away and serving money because of the fear that's happening. And they're actually serving the golden calf and not even realizing it. They're worshiping the golden calf. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1, but know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. In other words, things will be troublesome. For men will be lovers of themselves. Lovers of themselves. What did the Lord say? Deny yourself. And he said men will be lovers of themselves. Lovers of money. Boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanders without self-control, brutal despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, from such people turn away. They are boasters. You know, everything to them is business. That's all they're interested is in, making money. Now, there's nothing wrong with making money as long as it's kingdom business. See, this is where the heart must be. See, if it's not about kingdom business, then the heart is associated with an idol. Oh, I need to make money so I can have this, 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 and this. No, you need to make money so you can feed, clothe, and shelter, so you can expand the kingdom of God. Because if that is your priority, God will always keep your vessel full. It's when your priority changes, when you start spending money on things that he's not telling you to spend money on, then he steps back. Why? Because you're not being a good steward of his money then. See, he says, if you're faithful with a little, I'll give you more. But if you're faithful with the mammon of the natural, how are you going to be faithful with the things of God? It's impossible. So many times people think that they're doing good, but when they finally get the money, they end up purchasing things that they're not supposed to purchase, and the Lord steps back. And they just think, well, I got the money, I should be able to purchase anything I want. No, it's still not your money. It's his money. Go to Acts chapter 5. It's because of the worship of the golden calf. It is a spiritual thing. It is an influence to worship the golden calf, so that money becomes the god and the idol. Again, there's nothing wrong with being wealthy. There's nothing wrong with having money. There's nothing wrong with working, but the heart must not allow the money to become the idol, or you become contaminated. If you have to lie, cheat, deceived to get money, you are contaminated, and money is your idol. And that's called perjury. Why? Because you have to lie and cheat. Acts chapter 5 and verse 1. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession, and he kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? See, there was a promise already made. He told him already what was going, what the land of the price was, and so forth. and he chose to keep it back. He lied. Now, there was nothing wrong with him saying, listen, I've got some things to do. I'm going to give this amount, and I'm going to keep this amount for this, 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 and this. Okay, cool. But he didn't do that. He held back the money. Does everybody got this? He held back the money, and he lied. And he said, why have you lied to the Holy Spirit and kept back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? In other words, when you had it, why didn't you speak the truth? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? He said, why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. It's amazing in how many people still lie to man and think God doesn't know it. It's amazing to me. Oh, I'll just keep this. Nobody will know. How stupid can you be and still breathe? Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last. So great fear came upon all those who heard these things. And then they brought in his wife, and she said the same thing, and she went, poop. And she didn't get slain in the spirit. She got killed in the spirit. They both were removed from the earth because they held back. They lied. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. You know what they did? They worshiped the golden calf, didn't they? In verse 1 it says, now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Hello. What are they going to try to impress you to do? Become fearful to worship the golden calf. Many will fall from the faith. Now, falling from the faith doesn't mean that they're not going to say they don't believe Jesus. They're going to fall from the faith because they're not doing the will of God. Amen? There's many people who come to church and do all kinds of stuff, but they've actually come into church, and even though they've fallen from the faith, they're fellowshipping in the body of Christ, and they have fallen from the faith. Why? Because they're no longer doing the will of God. They're doing their own will. They're building their own empire. They give when they feel like giving. Hello? Instead of giving according to the will of God. See, giving according to the will of God is doing the will of God, isn't it? Not giving according to the way you think or we think. Go to Malachi 3. Malachi chapter 3. Worship of the golden calf is idolatry. Malachi chapter 3. Oh, hallelujah. Is everybody okay? Are you getting this? You see it happening all around you, don't you? It's amazing. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 8. Let's speak it together. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me, but you say, in what way have you robbed? Have I robbed you? He says, in tithes and offerings, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven, and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. He says, I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground. Nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. Now understand this. If an individual is tithing and doing offering, but still doing things that are unclean, it nullifies it. Does everybody got it? The blessing is only according to maintaining clean hands and a pure heart. So you can be doing all the right things, amen, but the blessings are being held. Because why? It opens the door to Satan to come to steal, kill, and destroy. Now you may ask yourself, well, how come all of these wealthy people that are wicked prosper? Because Satan's not out to steal, kill, and destroy them. They're his servants. Hello. And especially a one who proclaims to be a believer. I want you to understand this. One who proclaims to be a believer, he says, many will come in my name. Many will come and say that they're believers. And they will infiltrate the body of Christ to deceive people and come and bring them into bondage with their deceptions of business, self-promotion, and steal. Oh, hallelujah. Go to Psalm 10. One of the areas of worship, the golden calf, in this, and is not only is it an idol, but people become greedy. There's greed and covetousness. Psalm 10. I mean, come on. There's amazing things that are on TV these days. Amazing things. People eating worms for $10, you know. I mean, making real idiots out of themselves. They need to come on a Friday night service and make an idiot out of himself. Undignified. Praise God. Go after the Lord. But I'm telling you, you watch TV. I mean, there are such things on TV. It's phenomenal what people are doing for money. What they're doing for money. The dares and all the other things. In Psalm 10, in verse 1, why do you stand afar off, O Lord, and why do you hide in times of trouble? He said, the wicked in his pride persecutes the poor. Let them be caught in the plots which they have devised. For the wicked boasts of his heart's desire. He blesses the greedy and renounces the Lord. The wicked in his proud countenance does not seek God. God is in none of his thoughts. God is in none of his thoughts. Go to Proverbs 1. Verse 15, he says, my son, do not walk in a way with them. Keep your foot from their path, for their feet run to evil. They make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, but they lie in wait for their own blood. They lurk secretly for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone who is greedy for gain. It takes away the life of his owners. Takes away life. Verse 21, 25. The desire of the lazy man kills him, for his hands refuse to labor. He covets greedily all day long, but the righteous gives and does not what? Spare. The righteous gives and does not spare. Ephesians 4. You know, when a righteous gives, he doesn't expect back. You know, people sue one another because they gave to somebody and then they didn't get it back and then they take them to court and sue them. First of all, if truly somebody's in the fear, walking in the fear of the Lord, and a brother blesses him with something to use, he gives it back. Amen? Somebody shouldn't have to chase somebody for something. It should be there. If there's truly a relationship with the Lord. In Ephesians chapter 4. Hallelujah. In verse 17. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanliness with what? Greediness. In other words, they are worshiping the golden calf. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God and to righteousness and holiness. Wow. Holiness. Go to Jude chapter 1. Jude chapter 1. In verse 10. Now he begins to talk about these individuals, and he said, these speak evil of whatever they do not know. And whatever they know naturally, like brute beasts in these things, they corrupt themselves, they contaminate themselves. He says, woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, have run greedily in the error of Balaam for profit, and perished in the rebelling of Korah. So in this, there is greed and there is rebellion. Go to 1 Timothy 6. Worship of the golden calf. It's happening. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 6. Would you read it with me, please? Now godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing with these, we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with what? Many sorrows. What a warning. Go to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5. Let's speak it together. 3:5. Therefore put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanliness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is what? Idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on a new man, who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Go to Hebrews 12. So we're to put to death these areas of greed and covetousness. In other words, the worship of the golden calf. You know, we can say all of these words, but until there's an image portrayed in your spirit, there must be an image that is burned in your spirit that you see a golden calf. And in that, you know that the area of the love of money is the worship of the golden calf. And that's what's swaying all kinds of people right now. All kinds of people in this country. The love of money is the worship of the golden calf. Has everybody got it? You know, so many times people are trying to catch up on the things that they've lost. They spend more time trying to catch up instead of following the Lord. You know, there's a difference between ketchup and mustard. The Bible says it takes a little mustard seed of faith. That's all you need, is that little mustard seed of faith, and you're caught up. Hebrews 12. And the Lord said he'd give us witty inventions. He said, you know, all the things that he did in the Bible when people were in need of finances. But what they did is they went to the Lord and they waited on the Lord. They were willing to die until the Lord showed up. They're willing to lose everything they had until the Lord showed up somehow, some way. But so many times fear caused a hastening. Does everybody got it? Fear will cause you to be pushed and not led. And what happens is the more fear that comes, because when the Lord is just getting ready to do something, those demons come up and start tormenting you. Oh, all these things. And what's they're doing? They're trying to push you out of position so you miss God. And then people blame God. Oh, Lord, I don't get it. Why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do that? What? They said, well, I sent it to you. But you got out of position. You came in agreement with the voice of the stranger. You contaminated yourself, and the devil stole what I was sending you. Hebrews 12:25. Would you read it with me? See that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, how much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven? Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he is promising, yet once more I shake not only earth, but also the heaven. Now this, yet once more, indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving the kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a what? Consuming fire. Now go to James 4. And we'll close here. James chapter 4. In verse 1. This is where the wars and fights come from among you. Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? That desire for pleasure is a desire to worship the golden calf. You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasure. In other words, it's just money that's going to come and promote contamination. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Why? The friend of the world worships. The world worships the golden calf. Everything with the world is success. Everything with the world is power. Everything with the world is associated with money. To them, without money, there is no life. But to me and you, without Christ, there is no life. Or do you think that the Scripture says in vain, the Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously, but he gives more grace? Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts. Clean hands and what? Pure heart. Why? So that you can get back into the presence of God. You double-minded, lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. In other words, he will provide. He will provide. You know, when Abraham took his son out, Isaac, and the Lord told him to take his son out to sacrifice his son. Now you got to understand that the Lord already promised Abraham that this is his seed. So Abraham realized that even if he killed the son of the Lord, he'd have to raise him back up. Because he was a promised seed. So everybody got this. Because of the faith that Abraham had in the Lord. And when he went to go take his son and so forth, and his son goes, what are you doing, Dad? And he goes, well, I have to tie you up and put you on here. And he says, well, what's up? He said, the Lord will provide. But he still wrapped his son up, getting ready to kill him. But one of the things that he said, the Lord will provide. See, one of the things we've got to do is constantly sacrifice yourself. You must come to the end of yourself and truly come into that place that he will provide. And as he lifted his arm to stab his son, the angel of the Lord came and said, "Don't do that. You have found favor in the sight of the Lord." And he turned, and there was a ram caught in the bush. And he said, "The Lord will provide." And he took the ram and sacrificed it in place of his son. You know, one of the things the Lord has said to me, "Guy, you need to continually trust, rest, and wait." When I was driving down the road and I saw those individuals flipping those, and I've been seeing them for a while, flipping that gold thing. Cash for gold. Kept sensing, man, there's something more about this. What's going on? And he said to me, "I'm government. The one world order is taking in all the gold." And I thought, whoa. He said, "They're just building the golden calf. They're going to cause a cashless society. Where it's just a voucher. And they will have the power to activate or deactivate that voucher." He said, "But I'm your provider. I am your source. And everything else is a resource. So trust, rest, and wait. And he will provide. Just cooperate. Because without cooperation, there is no provision." Amen. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. Lord, you're awesome. Thank you for the warning. Thank you for showing us what's going on. Thank you. Thank you so much. And Lord, any area that we have held idols in our heart and have worshipped the golden calf, Lord, we repent. And we ask for your forgiveness. And we sever those areas of desire to serve money and replace to serve you. Because you are the provider. You are more than enough. And we will trust, rest, and wait on you and give you all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Hallelujah.